How great is our God. I love that song. It's such a great reminder. Thanks for the great laugh this morning, Andrew. I think we're all warmer and ready to worship and continue to be in this space. Did you know that when a plane leaves from LA, destined to arrive in New York, and it travels, it's about 3,000 something miles, if it was 3 degrees off, it would eventually arrive at Washington, D.C. and not New York. The interesting thing is, it will go unnoticed over the first hour, 2 hours, maybe even the first 4 hours. But eventually, if a plane was 3 degrees off, it will not arrive at its destination. And so I want to talk about today is that the same goes for the life of the church, the culture of any congregation, any organization, anything that we are, people are together, that if there is a slight degree off, eventually we might miss the point. I love how Craig Rochelle, he was saying, we don't rise to our goals, but we default to our systems. Meaning is, you and I, like, my goal is to lose 10 kilos. Honorable. And I have been working at that for the last probably 4 months. And I haven't lost a kilo. Just saying. Because as much honorable my goal is, the system that I am practicing, even though I'm now trying to run and do this, man, that scale just doesn't want to go my way, no matter how much I try. So eventually, it's not our goals that matter. It is the system. It's the thing that happens that makes us do life together. So this is what our message is about today. So first, good morning to everyone. If you walked in here and you wonder who I am, my name is Renier, and my role is senior leader of Coast Community, which I love. It's greater than the church. It's the church within all its ministry expressions. So if you don't know, we've got the school that we are part of here. We have a preschool. We have care and a whole range of activities around that we are part of here today. So one of the great things that I stand here today is that I believe that there is, now I call it exciting times for us ahead. Now, one of the things that I did take note of is when I arrived here, I know Karen showed us the list to pray about, and in that time I've started to put up a system that I go split my time between here and Tumby. And I was actually meant to be at Tumby today according to the rhythm. But way back when I started, I just put my name up for this message to be here to speaking to you today. And I had to take notice, because once you see what the topic is about, I'm going, hang on, God. You ordained this moment. It is not possible. It's not humanly possible to bring this about at this point in time. So I am, as you, expecting God to move through us today. Amen? It's ultimately He that moves. You know, I think I can be great, but even my best, unless the Spirit moves, is pointless. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have ordained this moment even before the world was created, and that in this moment that you have set aside, it becomes a moment in time that becomes part of history that we may look back upon and go, that was one of those moments when you started a renewed movement in and among us as a movement of the people that are on the Central Coast. And we believe and we declare that your truth, the glory that haunts your name, as we want to be the practices of a kingdom culture. And we pray that your Spirit today will bring that, and I call it a conviction of relationship. Lord, we know that you don't dump a whole lot of guilt on us, but you bring it to us step by step. You recorrect the way we do things. We pray this in Jesus' name. So what has been really amazing is, if I can just quickly catch you up on where we are. this whole year we have set aside for the Sermon on the Mount. And in this whole part, we've now come across, and in the first, to just show you that we have, is ready, I wrote it down here, we have chosen to spend the whole year in this most powerful sermon ever. I mean, who can trump Jesus? And so we've been going through the Beatitudes, we've been going through the law, and we have been going through the whole of chapter 5, and now we're starting a brand new section here today, which really talks about what kingdom culture looks in the practical. This whole, and just so that you can be part of this, is to see that this whole chapter 6, is a practical thing. There's the first part that is a general principle, and I'll explore and expand on that a bit later. But Jesus now turns in this section, it's just the practice of righteousness. In other words, what does a group of followers do that are walking with Jesus? How does a church operate? What are the practices of their righteousness? What are the religious observances? What are the practicalities of following Jesus? And he's going to spend a whole chapter 6 on that. And in that, we are going to focus. So just to give you the picture, because now you've got to follow, you have this general statement, which we're going to spend half the time on, that will cover the first half of the next section. And in that is the practicalities. So we're going to talk about the practicalities today. We're also going to talk about generosity, about giving. And then next week we have prayer. And then so the three things is generosity, prayer, and fasting. So that is just where we are right now. We're starting a brand new section, which I'm really, really excited about. So let's jump into this section that talks about where Jesus starts off with his new words. He's led us all the way up to the through the law. And what Jesus now is going to do is he starts off with these first words. And I love how he starts with that. He says, now pay attention. If you think about the pilot, what happens if a pilot doesn't pay attention? It will go his own way. When I'm on a motorbike, every time I get on a bike, I go, pay attention. The reason being is, even if someone do the wrong thing and I'm not in the wrong, eventually I'm going to pay the price because I'm the one falling on the ground, right? So pay attention. And what I love about this whole new section, what he talks about is in this general thing where he starts, he's actually going to talk about, what I love about what Jesus is doing, he's talking to the group of people. He's not just talking to the individuals. He's talking to the culture, the kingdom culture of the time. And what he is doing, and he's going to do over this next few weeks, and we're starting today, he is holding up a mirror of what kingdom culture ought to be, and he wants us to look back into that mirror and seek a reflection and examine ourselves in comparison to what kingdom culture. All right, I just muted myself. I love it when God interrupts, even with. And he is bringing that. He is probing. He wants us to examine ourselves. And what gets me really excited is, just so you know, is that we as leaders, we as part of the elders and our team, we've been to a retreat. It's about 2 or 3 months ago, and we've sensed that God really wants to continue to do a new thing in and through us. And what we are looking forward to next week, when we make an incredible announcement of starting a new prayer campaign, it's not just about looking at forward and the vision, but it's also taking us as a congregation, as a gathering of people collectively, allowing ourselves to be probed and examined, and looking at what the true kingdom culture is of our gatherings. So, in simple terms, Jesus is now talking about our attitude in worship. And what he was pointing out in that time is, and this is something that it happens not only in the Old Testament, not only in the New Testament, not only throughout the 2,000 years, it happens in every movement, any new thing. Eventually, we forget why we gather. We forget why we do things, what we do. And there's a different ways of going about. And in a one end, we can, you know, he's talking about that. So the first thing that he talks about is pay attention. And then now, and this is where it really gets real, he said, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. So here we're saying is, be careful, pay attention. That is great. Now he goes, okay, what do you need to pay attention to? And he now speaks to that whole thing is, be careful not to practice your religious righteousness. What does that mean? It's the simple practices we do as followers of Jesus as we gather together. And he highlights it. He goes, the way we give, the way we fast, the way we pray, and the way we fast. Can I just say what we need to point out in this space? He's now saying, pay attention to your practice of righteousness. Can I say, and this is my observation, and you may, I want to lay it at your feet. My observation that the biggest killer of kingdom culture in the Western church is our incredible demand for independence, privacy, and I forgot the third one. It is privacy. Autonomy. Thank you. Brian Fries. Independency, autonomy, and privacy. Think about that. We are fiercely independent. We really demand autonomy, and we are so holding on to our privacy. Except when you talk in front of your phone and Google start taking notice, but that's a different conversation. But what Jesus is doing is he is probing us. He's holding up a mirror and he's saying to a culture, and this is what is really exciting to me as we lead forward. He is saying to any culture, any group of people that gather for a regular point of time, he's saying, are your ways in line with kingdom culture? Are your plane in its direction still on course? He's not just talking to the individuals. Jesus always addresses the whole group to speak to the individuals that in turn will affect the whole group. But he is addressing the kingdom culture of the group as he is doing to us today. And so the biggest challenge to us today is, are we allowing ourselves the joy and the privilege of the Holy Spirit to get under our skin? To poke and prod a little bit to see if we are truly bringing glory to God in our gatherings, in every gathering, so that it will impact the way we disciple those around us. And so he talks about, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness. And here we are really being challenged because, and this is where it really gets personal, because we all, he's talking about how we worship what we ultimately worship. See, I can worship myself in the name of Jesus. I can come to this church in the name of Jesus for myself. My attitude in this space is than what Jesus is saying. It's some of us, it's got different approaches, and he talks about the idol. What is the where is the ultimate glory going to in our gatherings, in our kingdom culture? Who gets the ultimate glory? And here is one of the things that Jesus is pointing out to us in this space. Think about this, and this has been really probing. I've been prodding in this whole space. What Jesus is saying in terms of this is about who are we seeking to please? Because everybody of us got a motivation, right? You know that we are all motivated by something. Now, on a practical level, I am highly motivated by coffee. You tell me, come for a coffee, and I'll like, sign me up. But deep down, really, really deep down, We are all motivated by something, and ultimately it is about who we worship, where we find our true security, our true culture, our true meaning, our true purpose. Because everything that we fear is about what comes in the future, right? So what I'm doing today is in the context, in the perspective of what is yet to come. You are shy today because there's something in the future that you're afraid of. Maybe embarrassment or whatever that is. And that is a key driver. So what Jesus is doing, inviting us as a congregation, as we lean into this space, is for the Holy Spirit to prop and prod and go, who as a gathering are we truly worshiping? Look at this. He says there, the problem with it, the word is it's about this relationship. And the ultimate choice is always between pleasing myself or pleasing God. Now, some of you might say, hey, no. It says pleasing before men. But think about this. And I lived that. I know exactly, like I'm speaking from the same broken heart, like broken space, is that when I serve people, ultimately I serve people because I want to serve myself. I want to please myself. So when you go about in your acts of righteousness, your deeds, your religious observance, your practices, whatever you do, if you are not aware of the drift that can take place from bringing glory to God, ultimately it can feed the idol of myself. So my personal thing is like, in your idol, it's all about control, it's about approval of men, or it's about comfort or power. Mine is approval. I, in my natural state, if I'm not aware, I can, in the name of Jesus, can seek the approval of men. And I can do godly things. This was Jesus' point when he held up the mirror. He said, you guys are doing godly things, and that is absolutely amazing to the human eye. But God, who can see their heart, is pointing out that you are living in an idol relationship to yourself. You are not seeking to please men. Ultimately, when we seek to please men, it's because I want to please myself. I want to bring whatever expectation I have placed to a result in my own heart. Now, can I be really, really transparent? Because this sermon is planned to go great, and I'm envisioning all of us to fall over and seek God together. But that's not what it's really about. That's in the mind, right? But I'm good with that. But here is the thing. And this is one of our genuine values. So I'm practicing a key value of the church, just saying. So last night, we had this glorious day. We went swimming. We went, came home. And then my wife and my son, and he knows what's coming, they opted for this specific movie they wanted to watch, right? And it's not my favorite. I would have avoided it. I don't like it. And I sat for a bit, and then I felt, okay, I'm just going to stand up. I'm going to go. And I was still good with God, because as I was walking out of the to go and read a book, I was like, why am I doing this? And I'm like, God, I'm doing this because I want to glorify you. This is not a good space for me. I'm going to go out. And I was like, yes, giving myself a high five. Yeah, God, you and I are good. I'm not pleasing. I'm not trying to get them to do something to change the movie for me. I was good. So, great. Then the movie finished and I came out again. And my wife discovered that there was rugby on. Oh, man. Up comes the rugby. And that is when the self-centered idol of mine got the upper hand, and I became grumpy in the name of Jesus. Walked into my room and I closed it a little louder than what I normally would have done. Not a slam, no, just loud enough for them to hear. Because the idol in my heart all of a sudden said, they don't care about you, right? And in that moment, I had a choice either to buy in or let go. And for a split second, I bought into that picture of maybe I'm just all by myself. No one wants to do what I want to do. But can you see how my religious practice becomes so personal so quickly? by God's great, by his miracle, I was able not to have mental conversations, and I kept praying, and I'm pre-processing with God, and just praying, like I just kept in that space. But I went to bed grumpy. What I'm saying is that we are not perfect. And we will go in and out of this all the time, but it's the awareness. It's ultimately what Jesus is saying is if your practices does not lead into the you into the presence of God, being so willing to be transparent of your shortfalls and your gratitude, you've got to be careful. You've got to be aware of the problem emotions and test for it. Anger, or those. So when those come up, I realize, hang on, dashboard light. God, you and I, we've got to talk. And I don't always get it right. But you know what? Ultimately, I am forgiven. And I can't stand here in front of you giving a whole message about practicing my religion if I'm not truly honest about what happened last night. So I thank you, Stefan, and for providing me material. Just saying. But it's ultimately, what is it about? What is Jesus saying? Because he goes on and he says, don't practice him before people because you will lose your reward. And what he is saying in that moment is not about the reward of eternity. He is simply saying is that when you practice for the sake of yourself, you will miss out on the greatest gift that you can experience and give to others. And that's presence with God. Think about it. Yahweh. Hallelujah. The great I am. He gives you the opportunity to be present with him. So, that is setting us up for the whole next few weeks. And so when you're home and you're feeling those emotions come up, when your boss calls you in or your child is a bit chatty or whatever, realize that underneath that, really underneath that, in the root, sits something. And if I'm truly honest, you know what is there? I just don't trust God enough. And in that is because of my pride. And because I think I don't need God as much as I do. And I want to take a little bit of that glory. So, that sets us all up into this whole space. Being aware of when we shift between bringing glory to God or using God's glory for our own need. And I'm excited to see where this is going to go over the next couple of weeks. But here is it where it gets really personal, because the second part of the first, Jesus goes into very practical terms. It talks about giving to the needy. Now, I've got two things I want you to take away today. If this is what you take away, then it's like everyone is needy and it's not about you. Everyone is needy, the giver as well as the receiver, and it's not about you. Let me tell you a quick story because I'm running out of time. But a couple of years ago, I went to one of these leadership things and this lady stood up and she said, how many of you are willing to give everything away because that's what you do? So if I ask you, how many of you would give everything away? You would be, if there is a need today, whatever that is, you would help. Like, you'd be right there, right? So she asked the room, and we are all pastors and preachers and chaplains and all this. And we go, yep, that's what we do. How many of you will get up early in the morning or be interrupted in your day to go do a hospital visit to help people in need? And we're like, yes. How many of you will give everything away if that's what God wants of you? And we're like, yes. She said, so you are great in your giving. I'm like, yeah. You know, I'm like, no. I should have seen it coming. She goes, all right. How many of you who is so amazing at giving will put their hand up when they are in need? I'm like, no, I won't do that. How many of you would be too embarrassed to ask? How many of you will never, you rather die than ask? And we're like, yeah. She goes, so you're Jesus? So you're the rock? And that was one of those spirit-probing moments when God said, hang on. The gospel can only be unlocked if the helper and the being helped are mutually transparent. If the generosity, which is one of our key values, is only truly unlocked into the presence of God, is if the one who helps is willing to ask for help. So, let's start with that first one. Everyone is needy. I want you to say to the person next to you, everyone is needy. Everyone is needy. Great. All right. Everyone is needy, right? So, this is one of the great things that I have observed, is we have to ask ourselves, why do we not want to ask for help? I look around here today, and I see so many times we've got people praying, right? They're available here for prayer. But you know what I think the perception is? I'm not going to walk the walk of shame just in case someone else might see that I might be in need. Or we have this confidential prayer thing, and I love prayers coming through, but I wonder why it's supposed to be confidential. Yes, I know some of the things are public, are like it's private. I don't have to split my guts and everything. But some of the things when I need help in terms of certain things, wow, hang on. Here is the thing is, we all sit here and we go, oh, I don't need. Again, idol of independence. And God is probing us and goes, hang on. Why are you afraid to ask for help? And I think sometimes we don't want to be that person, you know. We all have a need to satisfy. Can I just say, anyone who helps others and put it on Facebook or whatever platform you're using, you've already received your reward. You are practicing that in front of people. So that is so important, because ultimately we want to satisfy the ultimate desire in our hearts. So here is the point, is like the challenge to us as we move forward is, hang on. Giving to the needy is also opportunity to receive. I've spoken to one of my friends, and he's in Perth, and his daughter is going through an incredible, she's 18 and she's got cancer, and just tremendously, but this guy is so generous. He gives off his time, he gives off anything you ask him, and he's been so amazing to watch. But he told me, he said, you know what was the most humbling thing over this last month? I had to put my hand up to be helped, because the medicine cost like $40,000-$50,000. And he said, it was the best experience ever. Can I speak to our younger generation? Why would you want to carry this all by yourself? Imagine a kingdom culture where young and old, no matter who you are, can put your hand up and say, I am not afraid, because I know this culture that we are gathering as speaks of needs when it arises. Because we all are needy. Ephesians 2 said, you know, once we were enemies, God raised us. And ultimately, you know what I want to say? That I have realized, when I am afraid of asking for help, I can see I do the same with God. I'm saved by grace. But sometimes I think, God, I can help you in that space. Let the Holy Spirit prod us. And now the second part of this is, it's Jesus then went on, and I want you to turn to the other person, your second choice. It's not about you. And I'm going to land this. It's not about you. Oh, there you go. I think we've triggered something. You know, one is the greatest fears. The enemy wants to make it about us. He wants to always want to raise it about, it's up to you, or you are going to be embarrassed. You are going to be. And what Jesus is saying to the culture of that time is, if you allow again yourselves to be reframed, refreshed by the Spirit, you will recognize how all of us, no matter who you are, is in need of forgiveness of Jesus, have freely received the gift of Jesus when he died on a cross, that all your sins are being paid, the past, the present, and the future, that you have been brought into an eternal relationship with God forever and ever, and therefore it's not about you. It helps you to not take offense, not to take things personal. Like last night, I recognize how quickly I take something personal. And what came out was something that was not as great as what I would love to. But here is the ultimate thing. If we allow ourselves to be renewed in our kingdom culture, if we know that everyone, including ourselves, is needy, and we practice that we pray for one another, that we go out there, I mean, we not only ask for prayer, but we offer prayer. We are leaning in this space, and we are discipling as parents, our kids, towards the freedom that is in Christ by showing them how much we need, and we are receiving, and we are giving. Can you imagine the impact it will have, the kingdom culture impact it will have on our community? Can you imagine walking in here, and there is this ultimate freedom of the Spirit being practiced by us, because we as a church, we as a gathering, have declared that we will not make it personal about us, but all about Jesus. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to prompt and probe and examine us so that we can be empowered again as a movement to lead forward. Now, just as a close, one of the great things that he would say that is obvious there, he says that the left hand shouldn't know what the right hand is doing. And that has been a downfall for many. Like, they try to be so secretive. And you know, I can have pride in being secretive. So just saying, it's such a tight rope. But what he was saying here is, the obvious part is not be seen by men. But here is the other thing, the way I've just interpreted that, and I will leave it at your... What he's saying is, do not let your left hand high-five your right hand of your generosity. Do you know what I mean? It's less obvious. Sometimes I give and I'm going, man, I'm a good giver. Oh man, I'm a good prayer. Oh, I've picked up on that sense that you need a prayer, and I'm going, man, I deserve a high five. Man, I'm a man of God. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. Right? Jesus is showing us that this juggle act of our religious practices is something that, as we are facing it day in, day out, is the absolute awareness of the presence of God. It's the active awareness that we also face the God of this world, who is in exact opposition to what we want to achieve. And again, the reason I'm not losing weight is because something in me still cling at more value, a security. And I still need to deal with that. And that's, but it's so simple in its practice. So, as we finish, I want to say, myself, as a church, our leaders, have a vision for what Coast Community, including our ministry expressions, could look like if we reflect a culture where there is an absolute generosity, helping, being helped. Where there's an absolute gratitude in expressing our needs and receiving our needs. Where there's growth in the way that we can point out the failures of our day. Because there's never a failure, it's always a practice. Can you imagine what can be? Not only for us today, but in the years to come, if we as Coast Community will allow the Holy Spirit to probe and examine us over the next 2 months for the sake of those who are not yet connected to us, to increase our witness as our gathering for the sake of His kingdom. Are you in? Are you willing to be transparent? Are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit to reactivate you just to be aware of why I am afraid to speak up? why I don't. It's that absolute awareness. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I love the song that we sang which says we're coming back to the heart of worship. And the heart of worship is to bring glory to you, Lord. And I pray that as Coast Community, including all our ministry expressions, will practice those key values of grace and growth and generosity so that the world that we connect with, no matter whether they accept Jesus or not, will take note of the freedom of the power of the gospel that is at work in this gathering, where we are not afraid, we are not ashamed, we are all accepting the fact that we are in need, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and that we have all been saved by your grace and your mercy. Lord Jesus, you have made a way for us to be in a relationship with our Heavenly Father, and you and the Father have poured out the Holy Spirit that will keep us, help us, guide us, lead us every step of the way if we choose. And so today, one of those key moments as we lean forward in all the things that we do, our acts of righteousness, our spiritual formation, Lord, as we follow, gather, go, in whichever way we want to state it, we pray that each of us today, together as in our home groups and our families and as our gathering, will allow you to prompt and probe us, because your ways are gentle and kind, and it's always step by step for the sake of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.